Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Third hour. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. John Robinson has spoken at the Combines in Indianapolis. We'll have that for you coming up in about 15 minutes on what he said. We gave you some quotes that we were seeing on Twitter, but we're actually going to play that presser coming up in about 15 minutes. Right now we're going to talk with Jim Nagy, who is the executive director for the Senior Bowl, spent almost two decades as an NFL scout, won four Super Bowls, was in six, Steve Mace, not to, you know, get you depressed or anything, but Jim was on the big stage a lot.
Hey.
And now he joins us. He's currently doing dad duties before he heads to Indianapolis. He's watching his son play. Jim, how you doing?
I'm good, guys, and I would quickly trade my NFL scouting career for Derek's playing career any day.
Well, there you have it. What do you think about this draft class as a whole? Is it because, you know, in all of our year, all over the years, in talking with general managers, it doesn't matter what sport, they have a good idea of what is this a good draft class? They have an idea of projecting next year's draft class. You know, sometimes if they're thinking about trades, they want to know if this year is a good one or not. Overall, what would you think this year's draft is going to be? Is it going to be a really good one or okay? How would you describe this year's draft, in your opinion?
Yeah, I really like this draft. I think it's a draft you can build your roster with. I think day two is going to be where it's loaded. You know, there's some uncertainty as compared to most years in that top 10. There's no real set order when you know. I talked to teams putting our rosters together all through the fall, so I have a pretty good idea of, you know, the top guys and where they're pegged, and there's no consensus of that, you know, that top 10 area. But I really think the meat of this draft, you know, from like 15 to 75, that's where the order's going to be all jumbled up, you know, where teams see a different fit or, you know, a different skill set that they might need. But I think that you're going to get a lot of starters and a lot of early starters in that, you know, second, third, in the middle of the fourth round. And I think there's great depth, too. I just bring it back to, you know, what we do at the Senior Bowl in my first 3 years at the game. You know, after all our off-season homework, all the tape work of the junior stuff and sometimes the sophomore tape, we usually go into the fall at a little over 500 players. That's where we were consistently my first 3 years. This year, because of all the COVID guys coming back, we were over 700. So what that tells me, day three of the draft is going to be loaded with guys that are going to make teams. I think you're going to see a lot of sixth, seventh rounders make most of these teams. And I think there's going to be a really good priority free agent class. I think there's going to be some guys slip through the cracks in this year's draft that, if scouted correctly, you'll hit on those players. And again, if you're working in a front office, you got to take pride in your ability to scout and evaluate players. And to me, if you do it right, you're going to get a lot of contributors to upgrade your roster this year.
People keep hearing about pass rushers, keep hearing guys that can get to the quarterback. Is that true with this draft class? You see that? They could be heavy at the top as well. You agree?
Yeah, I do agree. And it's not just on the edge. It's on the interior as well. Just watching your guys' playoff game against Cincinnati, Danico Autry and Jeffrey Simmons were able to do in that game. I mean, that's what every team wants. You know, you got to find those guys that can collapse the pocket and kind of gash things from the inside. And there's guys that fit that mold in this year's class. You know, you got like Devontae Wyatt from Georgia. I think Travis Jones from Connecticut, who had a huge Senior Bowl week, showed he can do that, you know, really collapse the pocket. And then the edge group is going to be really deep. You know, it's probably going to start there at the top with Aiden Hutchinson from Michigan. And again, I think you're going to be able to find guys, maybe not every down starters into the third or fourth round, but you're going to be able to find really nice rotational pieces that will get on the field in, you know, different rush packages right away. Again, this year, to me, this year's edge class is probably the deepest group of any group across the board.
There's a lot of uncertainty with the Titans offensive line moving forward. Some big contracts. They've got salary cap issues and aging center, who they love, but aging center and, you know, what they're going to do at that position. They haven't had any luck, to be quite frank. Isaiah Wilson was a disaster 2 years ago. He's out of the out of the league completely as a first-round pick by the Titans. Dylan Raidens went in the second round last year. Again, basically didn't touch the field. So they've had no luck there. Let me just start with the center position we were just talking about. I've seen mocks that have them taking a center in the first round. I was like, no way. But how do you feel about drafting a center high, Jim?
If it's the right one, I'm good with it. It's a really critical position. I think, you know, historically we've all looked at left tackle, but to me, center is really important. Again, you got to be drafting like a Pro Bowl caliber player up there that high. The issue is with this year's draft, of all the positions, center's the thinnest by far. You know, in this year's Senior Bowl, we didn't bring one center to Mobile that was a primary center in college. So, you know, we had Zion Johnson from Boston College, who I think will go in the first round, but he was more of a guard. He never snapped in college. Cole Strange, I think, would be a great fit for the Titans. You know, in your backyard there at Chattanooga, he was a guard. He snapped in Mobile for the first time in his life and did a great job. Looked like he could do it next year for somebody. But it's thin and it drops off quick. So that is a position. If you want one, you're going to have to take him in those first two rounds. I don't think, like last year, Creed Humphrey fell all the way to the end of the second round. And that's, to me, looking back now, what a great rookie year Creed had. It's crazy that he lasted till the end of the second. I think if you need to address that position, you're probably going to have to do it early, but I don't think you need to address it, you know, in the first. You could probably get a Cole Strange in the second round, and to me, that's a slam dunk pick.
Now, Jim, the Titans, obviously, they're a really good running team, and they run block very well. But when you look at their pass game, there are holes in it, whether it be a bona fide number two receiver or a slot receiver, and then also the tight end position. What tight end or slot receiver that can fall to the Titans at that, well, I think their 26th pick, what guy could fall to them at the 26th pick?
Yeah, I'd say like Jahan Dotson from Penn State would fit that mold. You know, Jahan was a guy that we studied a lot for the Senior Bowl, and he was committed to come play in the game, and then had an injury while he was training and had to pull out. But he's a dynamic player now. You know, he's Derek, he's kind of your size. He's not the biggest guy, you know, 5'10-ish, 185 pounds, but really bouncy, springy guy, great hands, huge catch radius because he's really athletic leaving the ground and going up and getting the football. And then he's great with it when he gets it in his hands. He's just dynamic. I think he could be there. I think with the tight end class, it's very deep. There certainly isn't a Kyle Pitts in this year's class that, you know, is just going to come in and do what Pitts did last year for the Falcons, but it's as deep a tight end class as at least we've had in the last 4 years of me doing the Senior Bowl stuff. We typically invite six tight ends to Mobile and don't always feel confident about, you know, the fifth and sixth guys getting drafted. This year we invited nine, and I felt great about all nine of those guys being drafted. We probably could have went to 12, 13, or 14. So it's a great year to need a tight end. You're going to get good players somewhere on day two. You're going to get starting caliber guys on day two. So like Greg Dulcich from UCLA is a pass-catching guy, really fast, can run away from people. Trey McBride from Colorado State I think is the best combo all-around tight end in the draft. He won the Mackey Award, really good player. I think receive slot receiver makes sense at 26, and then you could double up and follow back on the tight end on day two.
Now on the flip side of that, cornerbacks, I haven't heard much of is this a deep class in regards to corner? Because I think the Titans do need, as you know, NFL teams, they need three bona fide corners because offenses run so many three and four wide receiver sets. So is there a nickel guy that can also fall to them?
Yeah, there's some good nickels, actually. This is, I don't know if this is a year for, like, premier corners. I thought Surtain and J.C. Horn last year were both really, really talented guys, and they justified where they went last year. Both are high-end potentially high-end starters in the league. I don't know if there's any guys in this year's class, but there is good depth. There's really good depth. I think a guy that would make sense at the nickel that we didn't see play a lot of nickel at Auburn is Roger McCreary. Played a lot of nickel, played inside in Senior Bowl week quite a bit. You know, Rodgers going to get dinged for his arms didn't measure 30 inches at the Senior Bowl. I'm sure they won't measure 30 inches at the Combine. But where length usually matters at that spot, at corner, is in ball production, you know, just being able to finish. And that has not been Rodgers' issue. He actually, over the last couple of years, in terms of interceptions and forcing completions, he's led the country. So he's a guy that, even though he's got shorter arms, he can blanket you. I mean, he's got really good reactive quickness, good at the top of a route. He's feisty. So I think he's going to be a really good nickel. And if you're gonna draft a nickel up high, they better be a playmaker. They better be able to get their hands on the ball. And Rodgers shown that he can do that in the SEC. So I think he'd be a really good option for him.
We're talking to Jim Nagy. He's the executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl. Great insight on what's going on at the Combine this week and what's ahead with the draft. Jim, before we let you go, just a philosophical question for you. As you observe, what is the best way that players improve their stock at the Senior Bowl? Is it the measurables or is it the makeup?
I think it's the competitor, really. I think it's the guys that come down with, like, Debo Samuel was a great example. Like, Debo showed up day one when he got off the bus, and he just had a look in his eye that he was going to come out there, and it was a business trip for him. And the guys that usually come to Mobile with that mindset are the guys that usually come away, you know, during the week making the most progress. So, I tell those guys at orientation, you're going to, you know, the John Robinson of the world, they're going to have their eyes on you the whole week. So you never know when that interaction is going to come where you're going to be able to impress somebody. So I think it's the total picture. I really do. But to me, in those competitive one-on-one settings, when it's kind of mano-a-mano and we let them rep, you know, one after the other, especially on the O-line, D-line, you know, you get your butt whipped on one rep. Like, how do you bounce back? I think you can really show the teams a lot that way. And that's why I brought up Cole Strange's name. Cole Strange is a guy that helped himself a ton. He's exactly what, you know, just having history with John Robinson and knowing what they value there in Tennessee, like just the grit, the competitor, the toughness. Cole Strange is the dude now. He will upgrade your football team. And Dylan Radins, I know you said didn't get on the field much. I was able to watch from afar a little bit on Dylan. You're talking about a kid that played left tackle his entire career at North Dakota State, and then they, you know, they had him on the right side, and they were tinkering with him at guard. You know, give offensive linemen a chance to get better out there. They always make it. They're almost like quarterbacks in a way. They make their biggest jump between year one and year two. And Dylan's a really talented kid. He's a nasty kid. They just need to leave him at one spot and let him go and let him settle in. I think he's going to be a really good player for him.
Do you think that's tackle or this is the thing we always debate here? Because they don't really play their cards. Do we think it's tackle or guard?
Well, it just depends on, you know, Taylor Lewan there. You know, I think Dylan's more of a natural left tackle. But if it's not, you know, if they want him at tackle, just keep him at right and play him at right. Guard. I mean, left. I don't know who the left guard is now. But
well, that's a question, too. It's Saffold, but we think that there's an issue with the cap there. So that job could be open. So we're wondering where he fits. We know he's a critical player. Radins is somewhere along that line.
Yeah, Dylan's a left. You know, he's been a left side player. And again, to the layperson, it probably seems, you know, it doesn't seem like it's a big deal, move flopping from left to right. But it really, that's a deal. But you know, depending on what side you're on. So I'm a huge believer in Dylan. I thought it was a great pick when they made it. He's an athletic guy. He's a really nasty dude. He's what you want. They valued him for a reason because he was kind of the anti. Isaiah Wilson in terms of the makeup part of it. So he'll be a good player. I think they just need to, you know, be patient with that year one, year two development.
Certainly something to keep in mind. Jim, great insight. Thank you so much for spending a few minutes with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. Enjoy the rest of the process.
All right, Jim Nagy from the Senior Bowl. You can follow him at @JimNagy_SB. Really, really good stuff on Twitter. Great interview right there. There's some things that we can certainly hash out when we come back on that. Plus, a little bit later, we'll play you John Robinson's press conference from the Combine that's going on right now in Indianapolis. Lots of issues. First time he's faced the music in a long time with the media. So we're looking forward to hearing what John Robinson had to say. Okay, let me tell you about Loan Pronto. We'll get this break started with that. Loan Pronto, of course, they continue to have this out there for you to take advantage of. the ability to take full advantage of low interest rates and high home values. You know your home right now has a great value in your listing area. So the ability for you to take out some of home equity, you know, some home equity and turn it into cash in as little as 2 weeks is right there for the taking. No cost to you, zero hassle in the process. It's a digital process. You can get this done in about 2 weeks' time. That is music to your ears, especially if you've been through this process before and it takes a lot longer than that. Lots of people doing this. You can combine the cash to do different things. You can take the check, take part of it, pay off some bills. Maybe it's student loans. Maybe it's credit card bills. Maybe it's a car loan. Then you can take the rest of it and upgrade your house, upgrade a bathroom, upgrade a kitchen, add a patio, a pool, all of these things. And you can do it quickly. You can lock in a new APR in the twos, lower your monthly bill by hundreds of dollars because you have that lower interest rate. It's all with Loan Pronto and the zero-cost cash-out refi. Give them a call right now. You could even skip your next two house payments. You're saying, Willie, what's the number? Here it is, 615-499-5780. That's 615-499-5780. Or go to loanpronto.com. Equal housing lender, NMLS 166-1781. Subject to lender approval, not all loans apply.
Good stuff from Jim Nagy. Really good stuff. We're going to hear from John Robinson at the bottom of the hour. I thought the Dylan Radins stuff was pretty interesting.
It caught my attention.
Well, it definitely got my attention as well because, you know, we've been sitting here going, what are they having this guy? They drafted him in the second round. When they drafted him, everybody was, you know, cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. You know, oh, my gosh, I love this guy. Oh. It's like, okay, where is he? What's going on? And Jim Nagy's still saying, hey, just be patient. This guy's nasty. This guy can play. But what really stood out to me is he kept bringing up the left side. And we don't really ever talk about that. Because they've been trying to stick that square peg in that round hole on the right side, right? And I don't know. Maybe that's what they envisioned. But if I'm not mistaken, I was at the game, but I don't recall 100%. I feel like the answer is yes. Didn't he play left tackle in the 49ers game?
Yes.
So he did play left.
Yeah.
Because I think it was left. The only game he played in was left tackle, was it not?
Yeah, I think that was out of absolute desperation.
Well, yeah, but yeah, I mean, look, absolute desperation, you're still putting him in the most important position on the entire offensive line against a really nasty defense.
Oh, yeah.
And to my knowledge, we didn't say anything bad about Dylan Radins that next week, did we not?
He got the job done.
So
he survived.
We keep bringing up their salary cap issues, and we keep, you know, talking about the two highest paid salaries are over there on the left side. Is this maybe where his future is?
Well, I had never thought about it in a left side versus right side, but I do think that they view him as a solution somewhere. And I do wonder if left guard is the spot, because it seems to me the vibe I'm getting is Taylor Lewan, you'd like to have him back if you're going to lose one or the other.
Well, how do you know when you say you're getting the vibe? What are you talking about, his vibe?
Well, no.
His vibe is I want to be here, but what about their vibe?
Well, okay, let me throw this out there. Do you think the Titans would have sent some signals to the Predators, to Taylor Lewan himself? Would they have put him out there on the national stage on Saturday if they were going to turn around and cut him in another week? To me, that is something you could absolutely do to avoid, hey, you know, you just send him out there to the stadium series and then you cut him? Like, yeah. I don't think that's going to happen. So that's where I'm coming from there. You guys tell me.
And
that does happen. There have been some times, where a team, you know, hey, let's put the billboard up of so-and-so. And somebody from the operations side, from the football office or the baseball, don't put him up there on the billboard. Mm-hmm. Why? Why? He's our best player.
His contract's up. We're going to trade this guy.
That does happen.
Talking, yeah. don't tell anybody, but we're going to trade this guy.
Pass it, take it down. Pass it along.
We're cutting this guy.
In regards
that to. That absolutely happens.
Yeah. But in regards to, I think, the Predator thing and Taylor Lewan being out there, he's just a huge hockey fan, and he's played games before. So whether they were – I don't think the Titans are sitting there saying, okay, we're trading him or releasing him. I think they're saying we need to work out a better deal with him because he hasn't played to the level of the deal we gave him.
But that's definitely something they can talk about.
But we want to rework this contract. And if you do indeed rework the contract – then you can put Dylan next to him and keep Ben Jones. Now you fortify that left side of the line.
Okay. I'm with you. I do feel like
if you don't bring Nate Davis.
I gotta believe they Nate Davis I think is back.
Yeah, he's back.
He's the one guy that I think is under contract at a reasonable number.
I was thinking Saffold.
That you have to make a call on. I just think the more ways you look at it, and this is what I hadn't really thought about, Darren, but Radin's as the possible replacement there. You have Aaron Brewer in there somewhere. I think you like him as a utility guy that you could stick in there different places, but maybe not as a starter.
But if he's giving you, because this is what they're doing. They're evaluating, okay, what would be the drop from Saffold to Dylan. If indeed we can't work out something with Saffold, what is the drop? He's a young guy. He's played well. Will we miss Saffold? Will we suffer? Would our run game suffer if we don't have Saffold? I think that's what they're thinking now. You know, will we become because it's a trade-off. We know they were not a good pass-blocking team.
True.
Well, if you put Dylan in there, are they a better pass-blocking team?
Potentially. I guess you wouldn't know until he actually went out and did it, but maybe that's their evaluation. It's a fair it's a fair question.
Well, I want to go back to, because I do think there's something to what you said, but you also, in the same breath, I agreed with you, we've also seen players get trotted out to do stuff that we knew were kind of dead man walking.
Yeah.
Right? The franchise has them go, greet fans or whatever, or go to some event, and you're like going, wow, and they're not going to be here much longer. I will say,
this is not an absolute thing. It's a fair point, though.
I mean, I understand what you're saying. The other part is, it does make me wonder, why is Taylor Lewan so Taylor Lewan, all we've gotten is this constant pitch for him to be here. I feel like he's a pitch guy. I feel like we're on Radio Row at the Super Bowl. Every time Taylor Lewan talks, it's like his pitch to stay here, the rest of his career. I want to be here. I want to retire. And it's like, why are you saying all this stuff?
Maybe because he knows the negotiation or the renegotiation is coming, the reworking possibility.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It feels like he knows something's coming.
Well, he's at the stage of his contract where – you could address that, right? With not a lot of dead money.
Oh, we've already talked about it. They could almost walk away from him. Almost. It's like $1.9 million. Like, see you later.
Right. But when you have that, that also, I think, makes it easier to rework the contract.
Mm-hmm.
Knock the cap figure down. Spread it out a little longer.
But don't you think it's odd that it feels like he's pitching, like he's stating his case. I want to be here. I want to be a Titan for life. I want to retire.
I think
here.
He does, though, doesn't
well,
he?
But he understands, too, that his play has dipped tremendously. He understands that. And he knows it.
Why do you say that?
I mean, guys know when they're playing well and when they're not.
Okay.
But
are guys in denial, though, sometimes, too?
Not to themselves, no.
Okay.
I think they may be, if they're talking to someone else, but when they sit down and they look at how they played throughout a game or throughout several games, they know they're not playing the way. And it might be something they can't help. Injury. You know, he's had injuries in his career. He wants to play better, but he knows his play has declined. So maybe that's why he's making this pitch. Like, okay, listen, I know my play is declining. Let me make this pitch. I take a pay cut, but I'm not going to say I'm going to take a pay cut. I'm just going to say I want to be here.
And it may not be a cut necessarily. It's a reworking where in the short term, maybe he gets a little more cash. You know how
it's
they do that.
It's a pay cut, because what they do is they push it all back and he'll never see that.
Yeah, I think. But is he open to
but
that?
But don't you get more you get guaranteed more up front? Or more up front? Nah, isn't that how it works?
I mean, some of them do, yes. Uh-huh. They might, you know, give him a signing bonus, take his contract, cut it in half, give half signing bonus, and then make the rest, you know, during the season, but then push a lot of the remaining money to the back, knowing good and well he's not going to see it. I don't know how many years he has left on his contract.
And when you have a guy who's happy and you have a good team, right? You got to have people on that team, you would hope. They're like, yeah, we screwed it up this year. We were a good team. I'll take a little bit less or whatever it is, mm-hmm, so we can keep this team together. You might have those heartstrings where a guy might be more inclined to do it, mm-hmm, as opposed to a team that's going nowhere. Like, this team's going nowhere anyway. I'm not sure I want to be here. Fair to say? Like, you believe the window's open and you can win, are you more open to a reworking?
Yes, you are. And I think he's open to it. But as a player, you're not going to verbally initiate it.
Right.
All right, we come back. We're going to hear what John Robinson said at the Combine today. He spoke about 45 minutes ago to the media. Now we have the availability to air that. So we will do that on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase and D-Base, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Thank you, Sean. Predators out in Seattle tonight to take on the Kraken. Puck drop at 9 o'clock. Take a little nap if you can, so you can stay up late. I'll have pregame for you at 8. Everything will be heard right here on these airwaves. John Robinson, Titans general manager, spoke to the media up in Indianapolis at the Combine. Here's what he had to say.
Feel like he'll be a Titan?
I don't know how I feel, Corey. I hope so. I mean, he's done a lot of good things for us, but there's a lot of factors that go into that, and he's certainly worked hard, and he's been about what we're about, and you know, we're going to do our best to try to keep him there.
How do you balance down the desire to keep that pass rush intact, but also knowing you need to?
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was fun to watch last year to see how all that came together. And I think that all of those guys, they benefited from each other. I thought the rush was coordinated. Danico's presence along with Jeffrey's presence helped Harold. I thought Harold's presence helped Jeffrey. And that's what you want from that front. But it is a balance, you know, of kind of keep that thing together and working through, you know, Harold's contract and being mindful of players that we have kind of coming down the pike too, that we want to try to keep, you know, keep there as well.
John, what did you think of Julio's year with you guys, and you know, how did you evaluate that, and your concern that, you know, back-to-back season?
Yeah, I mean, I thought, you know, he kind of came in and he had the hamstring, and then it looked like we were headed in the right direction, John, and you know, had some setbacks along the way. I know he worked extremely hard. You know, he was one of the first ones in the building each day, you know, trying to get in there. I know he was passionate about getting on the field, helping his teammates, his approach to the team. I thought he treated the team really, really well, and how he was trying to get out there. And you know, unfortunately, he wasn't out there enough to really make an impact week after week after week. Certainly, when he was out there, I think he certainly helped our football team. But yeah, it was one of those things that was really just kind of seemed like a nick every week that we were trying to work through.
How much has been 2 years, you know, this last year, first year, give you concern moving forward?
Yeah, I think that's a balance that you always work through, John, as players, you know, as their careers start to get a little longer and you see some things and you're wondering, was that an isolated instance, or is this going to be a repetitive thing? It's something that, you know, we're talking about internally with our medical team, staff-wise, with our scouts about that.
How much in flux is the offensive line situation being an unrestricted free agent and both Roger and Taylor having high cap numbers?
Yeah, I think we're working through that. We're working through that, Terry. I think that that group's been together for a long time, and they know each other. There's something to be said when you've got that type of continuity with your front. The calls and they've seen, and they just kind of know this player is going to be there when this happens. But those are some of the decisions that we're having to work through with Ben and trying to keep him and looking at really all the positions on our football team with decisions that we're going to have to make to get under the cap so that we can be in congruence with the league rules.
You've shown in the past the ability to draft for future needs and with the quarterback position. How do you go about that process?
Yeah, that's a great question, T. And it's we do our due diligence on all those cues. Certainly, the guys, there's some in certain drafts, which because you're picking at the back of the draft, and they're going to go in the top three or four picks. But it's something that we're mindful of, and we work through those guys, and you're trying to find those guys that may be within striking distance that may not come in and unseat, but you see a future for those guys. And we're doing that with this group here, not saying we'll take one, but that's part of what our job is to look at all the position groups and see how and if they make sense for our football team and then what path or what direction we would go down with those guys.
What are your thoughts on this class? They say this is a weak quarterback class. What are your personal thoughts?
No, I think there's some good players in this class at the quarterback position. Got to see a lot of them down at the Senior Bowl. Got to see, and it's different. There's a couple of guys that they're all pretty mobile. I think they all move around pretty good. Some are a little bit more mobile than others. Some have really big arms. Some guys make, I would say, maybe more plays with play extension and with their legs running around to create some of those X plays downfield. And some guys are more typical rhythm passers that play better from the pocket. So I think stylistically and offensively, ever how you're going to build your offense, there's value with different guys in the draft.
John, you pushed some money back with some restructures, get 40 years for the first time in history. You thinking heading to windows now and we have to keep doing that, or are you maybe more reserved about doing it having to start?
Yeah, that's a great question, Paul. That's really the battle that you kind of wage when you're looking at salary cap management and how you're going to, what the next year team is going to look like. Those voidable years, it gets you under for the current year, but the following year, you're going to have to kind of pay the piper on those. So we're working through those, through those scenarios with a couple of different players, with a couple of different positions, and trying to determine, and you can't really forecast the cap. You would think that the cap's going to go up, maybe next year. You don't know what that's going to be, but is it going to go up enough to maybe absorb some of that money that you're pushing out, or are you going to have to make the hard decisions, and maybe move on? Yeah, again, I think there's players at every position. I think there's pretty good depth at a lot of position groups. I think the edge group is a pretty impressive group. There's several guys kind of in that, whether they're 4-3 ends or whether they're 3-4 outside backers, they all kind of play hybrid now in a lot of these college schemes. So you get to see them do a little bit of both. I think the offensive line has got some pretty good depth at that. I think there's some depth at the receiver group. So as we work through those guys, there's going to be some guys that as we continue to look at film and meet and go to their pro days, there's guys going to come up that, maybe for whatever reason, they're maybe a little lower on our board at some point, and they'll kind of gravitate northwards.
Hey, John, what is the plans for Deontay Foreman?
Yeah, I thought Deontay ran hard for us. He was sitting at home, and when the injury happened to Derek, we gave him an opportunity, and he took advantage of the opportunity. He ran hard. I thought him and Dontrell and even Adrian and Adrian's short time with us, all of those guys ran hard. They were working. That's one thing we talk about is when they're sitting at home and they're not working, guys that play football for a living, you miss it. And when you get an opportunity like like, you know, Foreman did, like Dontrell did, you relish that opportunity. And I thought both of those guys really took advantage of the opportunity, and it's something that we preach to our younger players is you never know when you're not going to have the opportunity, and you never know when you're going to get a second or third one. And I thought both of those guys did an outstanding job of taking advantage of their opportunity. And then we'll just kind of see how it goes here as we inch closer to free agency. He hit it pretty good, though, I guess, and probably stick to football. I don't know if he hit the curve. I mean, easier to hit out of a batting cage when it's just coming straight at you. But no, we it's very, very preliminary, you know, just in, you know, there's been nothing really exchanged, but AJ knows how we feel about him, and we know how AJ feels about the football team, and we'll get to work on that, you know, when we can. Paul, go ahead. Sorry.
Taking some injured guys falling through maybe his values, a couple Alabama receivers. How do you kind of balance the value of his fall through with the loss of time?
Yeah, that's the, you know, we've done it a couple of times here. You know, we've done, really the last couple of years with Jeffrey and the 19 draft, and that one certainly paid dividends for us. And then this past year with Caleb, and you know, I thought Caleb was on track. He was back practicing. He was moving around good. He was getting his legs under him. And then had the unfortunate, you know, injury there in our stadium. So. But he's working hard. He's been in just about every day. I've seen him in there. He's rehabbing. He's getting stronger. But those are some of the hard discussions that we have, is the risk reward of the player, knowing that, and you know, with those two players specifically, the timing of their injury, and you know, how much of that season are you going to miss and not have those guys, relative to what, you know, what the dividends that they might, you know, bring to your football team kind of closer to the end of the season.
As to if you had any thoughts on the stadium talks, you know, in Nashville, and what a new stadium
No, I think it would be, you know, it'd be outstanding. I'm not involved in those talks. You know, as long as it's got 100 yards and two end zones, you know, that's what we're looking for. But I think, you know, I think it would be great for the city of Nashville. It's a destination city. I think our fans have done a great job of maybe pushing some of the opposing fans out of our stadium, relative to, you know, my previous, you know, when I first got here. Because we've had some success on the field, but Nashville is a great city. You know, I think it would be a destination spot for, you know, a lot of different venues to come in, whether it's, you know, basketball, concerts, you know, college football games, whatever it may be. And I think it'd be great for the city. Biggest deterrent? I mean, I think you look at the system that they play in when you're evaluating quarterbacks. What system do they play in? Are they able to get the football? Are they able to decipher the coverage? And are they able to find the open guy? Are they able to deliver an accurate pass? Decision-making accuracy. I think those are the most important things. And you've certainly got some X-factor quarterbacks now in this college game who can make plays with their feet. That's kind of like a bonus. But at some point, you're going to have to drop back and throw from the pocket, be able to decipher coverage, find the open receiver, and deliver an accurate pass. Did a great job for us coming back, and we'd like to have him back. Yeah, we'll see how Monty, you know, comes back. You know, he had an injury there at the end, and I know he's working hard, and we're excited. You know, I thought Monty really did a nice job kind of toward the middle of the season, kind of getting into a groove. He and I had a great conversation about, and we talk about this rookie wall that all these players face, all these rookies. And, you know, a lot of these guys, when they play at these big programs, they're like, it's not real. Well, Monty, he goes, J-Rob, it's real. Like, it's – and. You can talk to him about it, and he's told a lot of his Georgia teammates, you know, like, get real because – or get ready because it's a real thing. One more.
What about Darrington Evans? Darrington Evans development?
Yeah, he was hurt last year. He didn't play for us.
What about tight end? You got one under contract. Do you have to find one?
I mean, yeah, we'll have to have a tight end at some point. So we don't play until September. Like, we're going to work through the process here, and there's guys in the draft. There's guys in free agency. There's guys that are on our football team who played a lot of great snaps, who we're having some discussions with. And, yeah, we're going to have a tight end, probably a couple.
There you go. General Manager John Robinson speaking today at Indianapolis. Mike Vrabel is about to speak here in just a minute. We'll come back and react to what you just heard and wrap up the third hour next. Chris Mason to begin the final hour of the program. Mike Vrabel is now speaking with the media. Maybe we'll have that as well. He said the Tim Kelly hire was to give the offense a guy like Jim Schwartz on defense, a guy with no agenda but just and not looking for credit on game day. So I can't wait till the Tim Kelly questions keep coming to Mike Vrabel and see how sick and tired he gets of Tim Kelly questions like he did Jim Schwartz questions. Although Tim Kelly kind of feels more like his guy than Jim Schwartz, so maybe he's going to be a little bit more apt to talk about him. It was pretty clear he got tired of Jim Schwartz questions. Didn't feel like his guy.
No, he didn't want to field anything when it was in regards to Schwartz. I'm sure he'll field a lot of them when it comes to Kelly. You know, so now if the offensive passing improves, then we're gonna have a problem at the end of the season.
Why?
Because he says that Kelly doesn't want the praise or the recognition, and you might be right. But Kelly, this ain't his last stop. Like this is what I want to do for the rest of my career, is to be an assistant, a pass coordinator guy. That's what I want to do.
Well, let me ask you something. The defense made a drastic improvement.
Mm-hmm.
Drastic. Well, you said there's been changes made there. You think it's a coincidence that Jim Schwartz arrives and the defense does a 180 and he didn't really have a whole lot to do with it yet? Nobody's talking about replacing Shane Bowen.
I'm not saying that Schwartz didn't have a lot to do with it, but Schwartz has been through, and when I say ringer, I don't mean that as a bad thing. I'm saying he's been through the gauntlet. He's been a defensive coordinator, had much success. He's been a head coach. That didn't go well. He's been a defensive coordinator again, had much success. So it's not like Schwartz is a young guy and he's looking for that next big job, which if a job lands on his lap as a head coach or defensive coordinator, then yeah, if the pay is right, the team is right, I'm sure he would take it. I don't think Kelly's in that position. I don't think he is a guy that just wants to sit around and be a pass coordinator. You're telling a young guy, okay, this is going to be your career right here. Now, if you want to pay him offensive coordinator money without having to do all that, okay, that's different. But I know he wants to aspire to be an offensive coordinator once again and potentially a head coach possibly. Hmm. So, yeah, he may not want the recognition, but if he's looking for another job, I bet you it comes up.
So what did you guys make of what John Robinson had to say? Anything stand out or what stood out the most?
I think one thing for me, well, it's two things. One was the Harold Landry thing because he at the end, at the end of his answering the question, he said, listen, we understand we got guys that we got to sign down the line. So, yes, we want Landry here. This is how I heard it. Yes, we want him here. Yes, we're working on the deal, but we know we got other guys that are a part of that defensive line or that defensive front that deserves to get paid, and they're going to want to get paid. So we can't break the bank with this guy and then have to potentially pay or lose Jeffrey Simmons. Well, it was really pointing to Jeffrey Simmons.
Yeah.
And Jeffrey Simmons is a $100 million man.
Mm.
So you're going to have to figure it out. You can't give it all to Landry and then another year you got to pay Jeffrey Simmons.
So you think Jeffrey Simmons breaks the bank?
Oh, yes.
I would break the bank for him.
He's right. He's a notch below Aaron Donald. Okay. There's no defensive lineman other than Aaron Donald that is better than Jeffrey Simmons right now. Hmm. There's not. So, yes, he's going to break the bank.
That is an interesting thing that we probably haven't really
now. They're
going to
tag him
long term.
They're going to tag him, of course, but he's going to be the highest paid, other than the quarterback. He's going to be the highest paid player on that team. Hmm.
And when you get down to it, there's only so much money you could budget for a D line, because you know that Bud Dupree's number is going up.
I just want to look. Mm-hmm. I'm with you. I don't want to push back on Jeffrey Simmons because I am pro Jeffrey Simmons. But I'm just trying to get to the core of what you just said. He's better than Cam Haywood in Pittsburgh.
Yep.
Is he better than Cam Jordan in New Orleans?
Yep.
Wow. Okay. So
if he's not, he's right there.
I think he is.
I mean, the guy's 3 years old. 22, 23 years old. Okay. I mean, there are not many guys at 22, 23 that you can say, within the last 10 years, that you can say, if he's not the best at his position, he's right below the best guy. And if Aaron Donald wasn't Aaron Donald, Jeffrey Simmons would be the best defensive tackle in the National Football League.
Chris Jones?
He's better than him. And I'm not saying it's no knock to those guys. They're good. Yeah, they're really damn good. But Jeffrey is just, and maybe I'm biased because I see him all the time.
Okay.
And I think the other thing about it is, and this is no knock, I don't mean this to be a shot, but there's no knock on his game like there might have been Albert Haynesworth. There was like, had some off the field stuff. Does he play hard? Can we count on him when he gets the big? I don't think you have any issues like that with Jeffrey Simmons. I think they just love his makeup, his team stuff. He is all about the team. So even if it goes bad, you sit there and go, you know what? I had no problem investing the kind of dollars we're talking about in him. I think he checks all the boxes.
Well, if he's better than those guys, then he's going. I mean, I know he's going to get paid, but boy, it's going to be boop, 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 mm-hmm. boop.
But do you guys buy that on the – there are some times where you're like, hey, this guy is a great player. He's a talent. But I'm not sure about this guy.
He's the only
guy – This guy does not have any of those concerns.
He's the only guy – when you talk about untouchable guys, and I love Derrick Henry. I do. I talked about Derrick Henry when people were like, oh, what is he doing? He can't see blocks. No, Derrick is going to be – he's going to figure it out eventually. He's going to be the best running back, and he is the best running back in the National Football League. But Jeffrey Simmons is probably the only untouchable guy on that team.
Mm. Okay. That is quite the statement. We will come back to that for sure. Interesting stuff. Hopefully we'll hear from Mike Vrabel, too, before we get out of here. But we'll come back. Begin the final hour next.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.